Let's pray. I gotta readjust. That was a really good video, Steve. Like, now I gotta readjust. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time we have here to worship, the freedom. I pray about it frequently, but it's nice to be reminded that we are truly free. Free to have radio stations, free me to preach. Our members free here to be and not worry about getting abducted. I pray for Victor's family, his wife and kids. Pray for Alex and his wife as they continue to minister. Be with those Christians throughout the world who are not free the way we are. May we constantly lift them up in our prayers. God, now that I've spread your word, help me do a good job. Help me be clear and concise. And I thank you for what you've done in my life. May everybody say to me, like Victor's wife said to him, that I'm a man of deep faith. And I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We have looked at serving gifts. We have looked at foundational gifts. Today we've come to the part, and we'll be in 1 Corinthians 12 here shortly, of revelatory gifts. And we're only spending one Sunday because there are only four listed. The website where I've got some of these from, there are only four listed as revelatory. And when I say revelatory gifts, it means those gifts involve the Lord revealing information that is used to guide, warn, correct, and encourage the church while bringing glory to Himself. Now, four are listed. I'm only covering three today. Discernment, knowledge, and wisdom. And one more, the interpretation of tongues. But I'm not opening that can of worms yet. It's next week. I'm finally going to address the manifestation gifts, is how the one website put it. And so we're pushing interpretation tongues over to next week, and just dealing with discernment, knowledge, and wisdom this week. So with that said, I don't need to pray because I've already prayed. Well, I do need to pray, but I'm calming my nerves. God, calm my nerves. I will tell you this. This gift, now I brought the presents, like, because this is kind of representative of the gifts given to all of us. You know, we've wrapped it up in different papers. I've been pulling stuff out. I tell you, this is probably one of the hardest weeks of pulling out what do I put in here for discernment, especially discernment of spirits. What do I put in here for knowledge? What do I put in here for wisdom? So I did my best, and we'll get to that. Now, where we get these gifts from, I'll read these three verses real fast, and then I got a story to tell you from my childhood that kind of highlight not only the need for these gifts, but how do you use them? And we're going to start in verse 8, because that covers wisdom and knowledge, and then we'll go on to verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 is where I'm starting. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and then to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. That you, some of your Bibles will say discernment. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So that's where these three gifts come from today. So my story, when I was young, and I couldn't quite remember how young, all I remember is this hazy happened. It has stuck with me to this day. I think I was around 10 or 11. I thought I was a little bit older, but when I asked the pastor about it, if he even remembered it, that was during my teen years, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, huh, I must have been younger. Here's what happened. During this section of time, the pastor was just getting up to speak. We had, in our church, there, pews wasn't quite that far back and kind of a split down the middle. My family always sat on what I called the left side. This lady gets up about halfway, right side, says, excuse me, pastor, I've got something God's laid on my heart. Now, you got to understand, I came from a church denomination. You don't do that. You don't clap. You know, if you're super spiritual, you said amen, but you just don't, all of a sudden, God doesn't lay something on somebody's heart to do something. And so I looked, and I did not ever, I don't know the lady. I've never recognized her. And again, I've been at this church my whole life. The church wasn't too big. I mean, 50, 60, but you pretty much small enough that I knew everybody. And I did not know her. So this strange lady, the Lord has laid something on her heart that she had to say. So she walks up to the front. You know, he kind of looks at her and, you know, steps out of the way. And she said, "God has laid on my heart to sing one verse of Amazing Grace to you guys." Okay, we've already had special music, but okay. So I'm standing there trying to process this. I think I was 10 or 11, maybe 12. I was pretty young. I'm like, all right, she sings one verse of Amazing Grace. She goes down and walks out of the church. I'm like, okay. Because I, you know, Jonathan being Jonathan, I was like, who is this? I'm trying to figure out, okay, who's she going to sit with? Because a lot of times, who you sit with, you kind of have an idea who they are. And so, but she doesn't sit with anybody. She just walks and leaves the church, gets in her car and leaves. And I went there for until I went to college. So I go to that church for another 19 years. I never see her again. Because now she's burned in my brain like, I got to know this lady who the Lord spoke to her to sing one verse of Amazing Grace. Who is this lady? And I tell you this story, and I never meet her again. So I knew I was going to tell you the story. So I started asking past pastors that, you know, I still communicate with. And that's how I figured out it was younger in my life. And then I asked my mom. Mom, you know, because mom was from that community. Mom knew the community. It was like, who is this? Like, did you know this? And mom's like, well, I wasn't there that Sunday. What do you mean you weren't there? I was there. How did I get there if you weren't there? Because this is brandished into my brain, a story I will remember all time. And then mom told me who she thought she was. And she goes, you want me to ask your grandma? No, don't get grandma involved. It'll just confuse her. Because the memory doesn't change. No matter how much I knew the background, the memory. I was just thinking, was it set up ahead of time? What not? And this story is really to open up my first point, or the first gift of discernment of spirits. The how my Bible read it, the distinguishing of spirits. The gift is defined as the ability to clearly distinguish truth from error by judging whether the behavior or teaching is from God, from Satan, from human error, or human power. That is what discernment is. Now, people have a general idea of discernment, but so how this would come into play in my story was when she says, I've got something from the Lord that I want to share to the congregation, then somebody with the discernment or distinguish of spirits would figure out if it's from God, if it's from Satan, from human error, or human power. And to this day, I still wonder, because I'm not sure I have that gift that I immediately know what somebody's motive is. And I want to highlight, that's what really this gift does. It's the ability to see what one's motive is behind their actions. What is influencing them when it comes to the church, when they have a special word of the Lord, a special, in this case, one verse of Amazing Grace from the Lord. And I don't necessarily say that lightly, because maybe God laid it on their heart, but it was so out of the norm for our church. And in the 20 years I went to that church, I saw her once. And so it struck me as odd. And I probably shouldn't hold on to this verse as much as I do, but in 1 John 4:1, when it talks about looking at the motive, and you can write it down and look at it later because it's one verse, or you're crazy fast at jumping around in your Bible. This verse kind of helps speak to my more skeptical side. My side like, why are you doing this? I will try to find, believe it or not, I will try to hunt down your motives, the influence, but I'm not necessarily good at it. And the reason I do is because of 1 John 4:1. When somebody comes up here and they have something to speak and whatnot, we want to make sure it's of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is why this verse highlights and kind of puts in a nutshell why this gift is so important. Because there are many false teachings. There are many people who say something is from God, and what they're really doing is just trying to get their way, manipulating people. One of the funny YouTube videos I watch from time to time is a guy who goes under the name Blimey Cow. And it's a young guy who's super sarcastic. He takes on things, different subjects. And one subject matter that I found kind of funny is the using God to either date somebody or break up with somebody. And this is mostly for, you know, the teenagers in the audience. He's kind of sarcastically, you know, talking to Christians saying, when you say God wants me to date you, is that really God? Because the only way to get out of that relationship, if God wants me to date you or God wants me to marry you, is to, God has now told me to break up with you. That's the only way you can ever break up with that person, no matter how annoying they are. Like, God told you to handle all this, you know. So you've got to be careful in attributing things to what God wants. Got to be safe in that area. Because you have to have a certain amount of discernment. Is this a godly desire or a flesh-driven desire? Is this of satanic influence when somebody says, God has laid on my heart? I know it's hard for us to think that, you know, Satan may show up at church or one of his demons show up at church and tries to influence or mess with the congregation. I'm not seeing it here, but it is possible. Could somebody be motivated by the dark powers? And also, it helped decide between truth or error in doctrine, or truth and a misunderstanding of doctrine. The ability of discernment of spirits helps find out what that motive is, helps see what the influence is. This ability takes a lot of courage. If you think, I've always been good to know what somebody's motive is, I always have this sense if this is truly from God or this is from their flesh or this is from a mixture of doctrine. If you have that, then I hope you are filled with lots of courage too. And this is why. Because if you think about it, is if somebody says, this is from the Lord, and you stand up going, oh, no, it's not. You know, how much courage does that got to take? Because you are saying, no, what you've got is not really from the Lord. You, in a roundabout way, are or could be perceived to be attacking them spiritually. You see what I'm saying? If they say, this is from the Lord. If somebody tells my son, like, God told me to date you, I'm going to have at least, I don't know if it's flesh-driven or parental discernment or God discernment, because encourage my son, tell them, no, God's not telling you that. Your hormones are telling you. You get what I'm saying? Hopefully you get what I'm saying. It's like, what, you call me not a Christian? I can't hear from God? Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm just telling you, kind of highlight, it takes a lot of courage. Especially when somebody awkward. So I reflect, let's go back to my story. How much of she stands up, I have a word from the Lord, and somebody else stands up, no, you don't. You know, there's an order to how we do things here. Have a seat. Like, who's going to say that? You see where it takes a lot of courage that if you say, hey, this is a gift God has given me, I can tell what somebody's motive is. Now you also have to have the boldness, the courage to speak that to them, saying, that is not from God. Why do we need this gift? Why, if it takes so much courage and can lead to some really awkward situations, either in church meetings or in a church congregation, why do we need this? Well, the first reason is it helps warn the church in times of danger. The second thing is it avoids the church from getting led away by false doctrine or false teaching. And that's where 1 John 4:1 comes into play. He said there's a lot of false prophets, a lot of false teachers going out into the world. You don't think if we've got something good going on here that Satan's not going to attack it, either outward or maybe even inward? somebody here, been here a while or whatever. And I'm not saying you guys are filled with Satan or whatnot. I'm just highlighting, you don't think Satan's not going to mess things up, try to cause a little chaos, try to cause disorder. And that is why we should listen to those with the gift of discernment. We should be aware of what is influencing someone. Because here's the situation. Paul is writing to Corinth right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in the in the New Testament. There is a lot of evidence of the Holy Spirit growing and whatnot, and there's power. Because think about it, Ananias and Sapphira, they saw good things going, the Holy Spirit moving, and they want to be a part of that. And I don't know why people want to say or do things, but Ananias and Sapphira, we at least know from them, they wanted some accolades. They wanted a pat on the back. They wanted to add a boy, add a girl. And so when they saw Barnabas getting all this attention and other people getting attention, well, they wanted some too. It's possible that somebody's motive to have a word from the Lord is to get attention. Another possibility is to jump on the power train. You know, the Holy Spirit is moving. People are getting healed. People are talking in different tongues, and people are coming to the gospel. And Simon the Magician, he wanted some of that. He's like, there's something real about this. This is not my, you know, bag of tricks is nothing compared to this Holy Spirit, this Jesus that Peter's teaching. Maybe if I give him some money, they'll sell me this trick that they're doing. So some people may want the feeling of power. And so how powerful, how important have you got to feel when nobody's saying anything, all of a sudden, the Lord has given me a word. Oh, the Lord's giving them a word. The Lord's talking to them. Why isn't the Lord talking? You see what I'm saying? So maybe that could be an influence. But with this movement happening, and we have several examples in the book of Acts of people trying to latch on for various reasons, I think it's quite important then that Paul highlights, or quite important that God gives the gift of discernment, to know whether what somebody says or does or preaches is from God or Satan or human error or human power. We got to know the discernment. And we have to have the courage to speak up if you happen to have that gift of discernment. It's one of those things I wish I had that gives. Like, I really like to know what people's more. Instead, I have, you know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. My wife doesn't think I do. So she's shaking her head. No. Only because she says that, only because there's a couple times where I'm trying to trust in this person. She's like, don't trust them. They've got a bad mojo about them. That's the only reason why she doesn't think you don't have it. So I have to use logic, and this is, you know, and put pieces together. But if you do have that gift, if God has given you, like, you know, and it's proven true in your life again and again, that you know what influences people to say stuff at past church, you know, Sundays or Wednesday nights or business meetings. If you kind of have an idea of what is influencing them or what their motives are, you have that gift. I hope also you have the courage to use that gift, because it would be incredibly awkward to counter somebody when they're like, God has revealed something to me, to say, no, He's not. The next gift is the gift of knowledge. Now this one, this is the only one, and I had to ask my wife on this one, what could represent these gifts? And so the gift of knowledge, to kind of highlight that, is I grabbed and... That was an accident. This encyclopedia is a little heavier than, you know, now I just Google things. So, not used to handling an encyclopedia and its weight. Is an encyclopedia where most people, because the gift of knowledge is the seeking to learn as much about the Bible as possible through gathering info, analyzing data, And the gift seeks to have understanding. So I'm going to tell you another fun story. This is just a fun story about encyclopedias. I have a special bond with encyclopedias in that my family used to make fun of me. I changed my mind. I don't want to tell you. Because my family makes fun of me, how much more and how much longer will you guys make fun of me in my special relationship with encyclopedias? All right. Fine. Before there were phones for the bathroom, there was encyclopedias. And Dan talked me into it. Blame him. Don't make fun of me. But that's what the encyclopedia. So when I think, and when Lori said that, I was like, that's right, encyclopedias. That's where you go to get knowledge. That's where you study. That's where you go to analyze. And now I'm embarrassed. Okay, where am I? Dan, I blame you. No. The gift seeks to have understanding. And the first understanding we need to have as Christians, and it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. It's time to kind of just jot it down if you want to, I don't know what I want to do devotions in. That's a good way to start. The first and highest bit of knowledge that we should gain is in Christ Jesus. The gospel of Christ. The first knowledge that anybody really needs, that they got to get in their head and hopefully their heart too, is who Jesus was. That He was God. That He was above all, before all, and everything was all was created through Him. And that He didn't consider that. He set it aside and came down and put on human flesh. He put on Himself our limitations of humanity because He loved us. Because there was a broken relationship. Our sin, your sin, yours and my sin, broke a relationship with God. And there's no amount of repairing that we could do on our behalf. Yeah, we can. The Jews had a system that they could kind of push it off a little bit more with the lambs and the sacrificial system. But humanity needed a lamb to be sacrificed. So Jesus comes, lives a sinless life, showing us how to love, how to treat each other, teaching us what the Old Testament has been pointing to this whole time. And then after it all, those in religious power did not like what Jesus had to say. They had Him killed. But Jesus knew this all along because He came to die for our sins. He hung on the cross and took all our sins upon Him so that we may be reconciled to God the Father. But the story didn't end there. They took Him off and put Him in the tomb. And there, 3 days, He took our sin to the grave so we don't have to go down. And then when He rose up, we rise up with Him. That is the most important knowledge you could ever have. That's the most important understanding you could ever have before you. The knowledge of Christ Jesus. Who He is. What He did for us. That is the ultimate knowledge. If you want to read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 and get Paul's take on it, it's fine. If you want to read a longer version of it, pick any of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. See His life. See what He did. So, where does spiritual knowledge begin? You're like, okay, I get that. That's the ultimate knowledge. Well, let's see the beginning of knowledge. And if you turn to Proverbs 1, we're going to be at Proverbs for a while. Yeah, I'll mention a couple other verses here and there, but Proverbs 1 and 2 really highlights knowledge and wisdom. Give you guys a chance to get to Proverbs 1. We already seen in 12:8 that it's the gift of knowledge, but let's see what the wisest, most knowledgeable man on the planet has to say. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now this is the one God gave him all this wisdom that none was like him or will be like him, other than Jesus. To know wisdom and instruction. Now, this is what the Proverbs are to do. This is what this book is to do. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. By the way, if you consider yourself young or are young, Proverbs is a book for you. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And here's the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here's the real thing, the fear of the Lord, a reverent fear, knowing who one day you will have to answer to for all your words and actions. Knowing one day you will have to face the one who can not only destroy your body, but your soul as well. Hopefully there's a certain amount of fear, the one who has everything in your life in his hand. You'd be foolish to not have that fear. You'd be foolish to despise wisdom. You'd be foolish to despise instruction. Solomon starts at the very outset, and he's probably writing some things that people will find hard, and he talks about how our souls are pulled in two different directions. By the calling out, my Bible listed as the enticement of sinners. And then that's part of chapter 1. Another part of chapter 1 is the call of wisdom. Two different calls are going out to you. And Solomon starts at the very beginning. You need to have a fear of the Lord, and you need to have a teachable spirit. You'd be foolish to not have a teachable spirit, to think, I know all I've ever known. I know all about this subject. I know all about God. I don't need to learn any more. You'd be foolish to not have a teachable spirit. So, what does this gift look like today? Those with the gift, not only does somebody with the gift of knowledge have a teachable spirit, constantly wanting to take more in, but they study Scripture. There's that teachable spirit coming back up. They memorize it and retain it well. When you study, it kind of sinks in. It kind of permeates your brain. I don't know. You just hold it well, and it comes back to you. They communicate effectively and kind of inform to be able to inform an individual or a church of some word of knowledge at appropriate times. They connect the gospel to all situations, all circumstances. Every circumstance that comes by, they see how it connects to the gospel. And they are prepared to share that knowledge in a situation. So they pick appropriate times, they see how it connects to every situation, and they are prepared to do so when someone is open to hear it. A good biblical example of this is the Bereans. Acts 17, verses 11 and 12. And you go and check it out if you're like, I think I have the gift of knowledge. Check the Bereans out. They were described as noble, and their study brought the saving message of the gospel to their area. So that's Acts 17, 11 and 12. If you want to kind of write that down and check it out later. So we've looked at discernment, seeing the motive and influence. We've looked at knowledge to try to gain understanding of Scripture and to see how it connects to all situations. Now, let's look at wisdom. We're still going to be at Proverbs 2, because I mentioned there's two different calls going out. There's a call to go out and follow in the way of sinners, and you can read that part in chapter 1, and there's also a call to wisdom in chapter 2. But here's ultimately the definition of wisdom. It is the application of knowledge. An application to in such a way that to make spiritual truths quite relevant in decision-making and daily life. Wisdom impacts your life. Wisdom is using that knowledge to move a person towards holiness. It is learning stuff about the Bible and finding ways to plug it into your life, to using it. And as you continue to plug it in, as it impacts your life, then you begin recognizing, wisdom helps you recognize what future actions are going to be harmful and unfruitful. What actions will cause... Now, this could be for yourself. Hopefully, it's for yourself. That you take what you learn from the Bible, either in personal devotions, Wednesday night, or Sunday mornings, Sunday school, and actually applying it. That's wisdom. But also, as you gain wisdom, hopefully you're encouraging those in your circle of influence to gain wisdom as well. You're all growing together. You all are using the Bible knowledge, the understanding, your study, and applying it to your life. So what are, and so you, and so hopefully if you're starting to yearn for it, it's like, what is in, why should I have wisdom? This seems like it's pretty good. What benefits are there? Verse 2 has benefit, or chapter 2 has benefits. And I highlight it, you're going to see them highlighted up here in a little bit. There's, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. The whole chapter is pretty good. I'm going to read 7 through 12. I would encourage you to read all of Proverbs 2. All of it's a great proverb, but I want to read, 6. 6 through 12. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Wisdom will bring about God as a shield. Goes on to verse 8, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of the saints. So he guards and watches the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. So verse 9, you begin possessing understanding. That's what wisdom brings. Verse 10, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. So it'll give you discretion. It'll give you joy, a joyful discretion, like, I probably shouldn't do that. Wisdom will be understand, not only should I not do that, I know why I shouldn't do it, and I'm glad to avoid those circumstances. So it brings you discretion and a peace about it. And then verse 11 mentions the deliverance. Actually, I'm off a little bit. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. I was off slightly. In my verses that I wrote down. Oops, sorry. But still, the same is there, chapter 2, that wisdom provides all these benefits. And after walking with them, you kind of see it again and again. And like I said, I encourage you to read more of chapter 2 to see this picture that Solomon is painting, why wisdom is so important in your life. Now, if you now agree with me that wisdom is super important and you like some of these things and you're like, I totally want to know how to do this. And lately, I've been praying for that a lot. I've been praying for a while, but, as our church, moves through, difficult times, I think, I really need your wisdom, God. I really need to know the right thing. And I pray for it all the time, but I've never really thought to ask, how do I know if I have godly wisdom? And that is where James, the brother of Jesus, helps me. So we've finished with Proverbs here. If you turn with me over to James 3, we're going to see how we can recognize biblical wisdom. You're going to see how wisdom, instead of me saying, all right, this is what wisdom looks like today, let's just hear straight from the Word of God to recognize if you have the gift of wisdom, if you are having wisdom guide your life. Now, as everybody's finished and turning there, I would like to highlight, if you look at the first part of chapter 3, it's talking about the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. It's a world of evil set afire by hell itself. You know, that's the first part of chapter 3, and it tells all this stuff that our mouths, our tongues can get us into, all this trouble it can get us into. And then James comes to verse 13, and he highlights us how to recognize biblical wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Yeah, we're kind of asking that question, or at least I'm asking myself that question. How do I know if I'm wise and I've got understanding? Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is exemplified by a good life. You can kind of get an idea if somebody has wisdom by the life they lead. Because remember in Proverbs 2, it was talking about all these things are heaped as blessings on those who walk wisely. Well, now James 3, it says, look at people's lives. That'll let you know who's walking in wisdom. Then James goes on to say a life of wisdom, what it doesn't have. And that's in 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So if you struggle with jealousy, if you struggle wanting something what somebody else has, or if you struggle only thinking about yourself and what will move you forward in front of everybody else, you don't care who you kick to the curb, then wisdom doesn't hang out in your life because all you think about is yourself. Wisdom is not wrapped up into hurting everybody else. And then here we go. James then tells us what wisdom is. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. And some of you guys may have it says considerate. Open to reason, full of mercy. Oh dear. Alright, so for Jonathan to have wisdom in his life, he needs to really develop mercy, which I'm trying to do. I've told you guys that. But if I want to be wise, I've got to have that. And then it goes on, and good fruits. There we're seeing the fruits of a good life coming out. Impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James 3. Now, it talks about how the tongue gets us in trouble. It talks about if you walk in a way that you only think about yourself and you only want what other people have. It's like, how much can I gratify myself? You're not going to have God's wisdom in your life. But if you want God's wisdom, and you see the benefits in Proverbs 2, and you need to recognize it, like, I need affirmation that I have God's wisdom, then James highlights, if these attributes are part of your life, pure, peace-loving, being considerate, open to reason, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere, then you're walking in God's wisdom. That gift is evident in your life. The goals of these particular gifts is to speak God's truth into somebody else. It's not to benefit you. The gifts were never to benefit ourselves. Yeah, we may feel some benefits, but it's always to lift up fellow brothers, sisters in Christ. It's always to edify the church. So my question to you guys is, as we look at the discernment of spirits, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of wisdom is, a running theme through is, do we have a teachable spirit? You have to ask yourself, if somebody brings something to me, am I open to hearing it? Do I think I know more than other believers? Does other believers have some knowledge, some wisdom, some discernment that I may need to listen to in my life? I actually enjoy the teens when they kid me. One particular teen really likes to kid me how you don't have the gift of mercy. No, I don't, but I do need to work on it. Thank you for reminding me that I need to be teachable, that I need to learn from others. Because I want wisdom. I want to walk in wisdom, especially as we make difficult decisions. Both in my personal life and in this church, we need wisdom. And I hope you will walk that with me. I hope you will also seek a teachable spirit. And the next part is, let's say you have a teachable spirit. Let's say you are learning. My question to you guys is, do you have the courage to speak it? Do you have the courage to speak truth into people, to share that wisdom, to share the knowledge that you're learning, to share, and it takes a lot of courage, you know, the discernment of what somebody's motives and influence is. Do you have that? I hope you do, in the same way that I hope I do. Because I think we need it. I think churches are under satanic attack. I think we are under attack. And so we need these gifts. These gifts aren't as out there as some of the other gifts we've looked to this point. And they certainly don't manifest themselves in the way that the gifts we're looking at next week. These gifts, pretty much between you and God, God gives some pointers of how to recognize them. My question to you guys is, are you going to be teachable, and are you going to be courageous with these gifts? That, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time we have together. I appreciate what I've learned this week. Help me always to remain teachable. Help me always to compare what people say to the Scripture, and they compare what I say to the Scripture. Because ultimately, God, all our knowledge and wisdom should come from You. Guide us. We love You and we want to do Your will. Help us to follow that will. Ask to repel Satan and his demons to keep from attacking this church. God, this is Your church. You love it. Bless it and protect it. I want to thank You for what You do. May we glorify You in our personal lives with family and friends, as a church to this community and to the world. May we glorify Your name and not our own. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.